Welcome to Family Spirit Keepers, a podcast for the reflective, courageous, and mindful family. Today's episode is part of a series highlighting some of our community members. I'm Malia Silversmith, and I'm grateful that you are here with me. Listen in on an enlightening conversation with FSK member Brianna Delgado, a former traditional public school teacher who is now a charter school EF and a homeschooling mom.
So I have a husband and four children. I have a nine-year-old boy who's in third grade, who's just finishing third grade, a six-year-old boy who's finishing kindergarten, a five-year-old girl who's finishing TK, and a 17-month baby.
Wow. Okay. You got your hands full.
A little bit.
It sounds so crazy when you name it that way. I've been around them and it doesn't feel that bad. So why did you choose to homeschool?
So I, it's a long story that I'll try to sum up kind of quickly. I think I began a transition, I was a teacher. I was a teacher of a regular brick and mortar public school. And I really had a transition when I first became a mom and I started viewing education differently. I stopped seeing the children as kind of like minds to mold, and I started to see them as human children. And that was really kind of the beginning of my transformation. And as I got to know my own child better, and I knew kind of where he needed to be ready for kindergarten and ready for school, and knowing who he was, it just didn't match. He had his own special path that he needed to take, and I felt it was more my job to help him find his way on his own instead of forcing him to go somewhere that he wasn't ready or wanting to do. Hold on. Once we joined Hilltop, that's the preschool. And I started having a better understanding of child development and just learning more about different ways that people educate and different ways that people school. And I really, I wanted something more. I wanted something different for my own children.
What you're saying is address them as individuals and their needs.
Yeah, I think there's so many important pieces right now that I'm leaving out, but just to fit within the time constraints, I really realized that, I really realized that I wanted my children to understand, to question things, and I wanted them to learn how to think instead of just gaining knowledge or just memorization. I think that coupled with the fact that with Oliver, I mean, everything that he did, he's on his own timeline, and you can't do that in public school. If you're not reading a certain number of words by kindergarten or by first grade, you're considered behind. And he wasn't behind. It was just that he was ahead in other areas and not necessarily ready to learn. Even reading, he didn't learn to read until he was 8. But when he was ready, he went from 0 words to chapter books. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just, that's what he needed. That's what he needed. He needs to do things in his own time, in his own way. And I feel like it's more my job to just help support him in that journey. And my other kids too, they're just not quite as far along. So I'm kind of learning everything with him.
So I was hearing like that must have taken a lot of faith.
Oh, that was really hard, especially as, you know, an ex public school teacher to just like wait it out and be like, I know he's going to get there. I know he's going to get there. And I knew he was, but you know, you have those moments of doubt where it's like, oh my gosh, what if he doesn't? What if I'm doing the wrong thing? What if I'm supposed to be doing the early intervention and all of this kind of stuff? But as soon as he got there, I felt it was so validating for me. And it was like, this is what he needed. And had he gone the other route, had he been told he was behind, he would have given up completely. So I'm so thankful that I'm on this homeschooling journey.
Yeah. Does he, you know, he and I haven't talked in a long time. Does he have does he still have a lot of confidence in his learning?
He does. Yeah. It's still, I mean, you know, I have my moments where it's like, okay, we need to do this. And he will push back with a vengeance more than anything. But if he's excited about something and passionate about something, then he's all over it and he's learning and he truly is just motivated intrinsically. And that's such a beautiful thing to see and not something that you see in public schools every day.
So now, as someone who took a while to you know, get into reading and writing, how does he choose to demonstrate his learning most often?
He reads all the time. So it went from nothing to reading all the time. Writing took a little bit longer, but then it was the same thing. As soon as he was ready for it, it was like he just wrote pages and pages and pages and pages, and it started off as like just his observations, and he would just start by writing all of his observations. And as he gained confidence in doing that, we've actually just the last half of this year, we've been using journaling as a tool in our learning. And we are, you know, our social studies, we're journaling all of these different countries, nature journals. And so he loves using journals in all of our learning.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
It's fun.
So how would you describe your homeschooling philosophy?
Eclectic. I'm all over the place. And I go back and forth between this is what I love and this is what I want to do. And having my kids be like, well, this is what we love and this is what we want to do, and finding that middle ground, because I mean, even though it's their education, I'm learning right alongside with them, and there are things that I get excited about and I really want to do too. So that's always really fun.
That is great. I love to hear that. Like, because you know that's a part of what I, you know, a big part of what I try to express to parents is that you know, if the homeschooling journey is a family journey, and it's important that they learn that, you know, that there's flexibility and flow and consideration of everyone.
Yeah, and I think that's such an important lesson, just that adaptability to be able to not get stuck in a schedule and just let things flow and feel good and feel right. And as soon as you get stuck with like, this isn't working, let's change it. Let's try something else. That's been a really important lesson that we've learned.
I love it. Yeah, that's a good one. It sounds like you kind of like to kind of flow, but do you guys have some rhythm in your days or some kind of rhythm in your week?
we take some classes. So the boys go to a homeschool Cub Scout group on Mondays, and that's been really instrumental in their learning this past year, because it's at the sea base, and so there's a marine biology portion to it. Mm-hmm. They're on the water almost every Monday. They're kayaking, they're sailing, they're learning, they're dissecting squid. So there's a lot of hands-on learning going on over there. I'm also, in addition to being an EF with iLead, I also teach at the studio. And so they come, it's a 2-day-a-week drop-off program. And so they come with me, Oliver comes with me on Wednesdays. And so that gives him some structure and a chance to interact with other kids. And just, you know, a chance to do that problem solving and collaborating and social skills and all of that kind of fun stuff. Let's see, do we have anything else that's more regular? We do have curriculum that we use. We're not consistent about what days. Ali, I want you to know she just woke up, so she's probably not in the mood for that yet. We're not super consistent about like having to do it a certain number of days a week or anything like that, because it just, we found when we get really excited about something, it's like we're really hands-on with it. We want to do it every day. And then we may not be as excited about. And it may, so maybe they get really excited about science. So we've got the Mel Science Kit, and they'll want to do an experiment every single day, or two experiments every single day. And then the social studies kind of goes on the back burner for a little bit. And then all of a sudden they'll get very excited about learning about different countries. And then, so that comes to play a little bit more often. So we, you know, our classes is what keeps us a little bit more consistent. Oliver also went to the homeschool campus this past year, and he chose the classes that he took. So some chess classes. He loved his math class that he took there. But I was checking with him and make sure that he's choosing the classes that he's taking, and that's something that he wants to do.
Nice. So your days when you are at home, like, you know, give us some insight into how you manage all these children, and getting everyone fed and doing the things that you do. How do you do that?
I mean, we are really, I think we're a hands-on house, and it really, I can't run everything by myself. And so I need everyone to help when it's time to fold clothes. I need all hands on deck. If I'm going to be making dinner, I need someone else to put the dishes away so that the dishwasher is empty for the dinner dishes that are going to come. So we really do, I think, and I actually consider that part of our homeschooling, is that we work together as a family, and we're doing things as a family, and we're learning together. And my children need to understand that that we all help out. And so... Well, Oliver's going in there right now. You can go join him, but he is going in. So you guys decide. So when we actually sit down and do schoolwork, quote unquote, I usually just kind of have something, either a fun snack for the baby or some new toys for the baby, so we can sit down at the table and do like table work. Although, like I said, we're really not consistent in having like a set time or a set day that we do things. It's really just sort of how everybody's feeling
into it.
Yeah,
I understand that,
myself included, because I have times where I'm like, you know what, we need to do something. We haven't done math in a really long time. What would you like to do for it? Do you want to play a game, or do you want to get your workbook out?
That was kind of going to be my next question, was like, how do you kind of reflect on what the needs are?
You know what, to be honest, the journaling that we've been doing is really helping out, because Oliver's kind of taking it on his own when he journals to sort of be self-reflective in that. And it helps me see where he's at, as well as the different games that we play. A lot of it just incorporates different subjects, and so I can see as they're playing what they're getting from it and what they're learning and where they maybe need a little more support in. And so when I see that, then I can go, you know, find some kind of curriculum or something that can support whatever they're doing.
That's awesome. So, and then also, it sounds like you're homeschooling mixed ages.
Yes.
Is that
which I love.
I really like to do it that way too, but do you find any challenges in that?
Definitely. Right now, so I don't know, I'm all about kind of taking it month by month, day by day, week by week, year by year. Right now, obviously Oliver, being in third grade, needs to do a little bit more actual work than my other kids, who are still in TK and kindergarten, who really just need to be playing. And so I think that helps. And so part of me kind of thinks to the future, like, well, gosh, what happens when I have a third grader, a fourth grader, and, you know, a sixth grader? Like, what am I going to do then? Or a seventh grader, I guess it's going to be. What am I going to do then? But with how they are learning and how they're so self-directed, I'm not that concerned, because I can really see them being responsible enough to sit down and work on their own and not need much support, because they're capable and they can do it.
Yeah. I can also see how, and I've experienced, I guess, how they sharing their perspectives on a topic and then choosing how they're going to do it you know, individually, or how they're going to demonstrate their learning individually would work out really beautifully with those ages.
Oh yeah. And I can actually show you. So they all have journals for social studies. That would be a great example right there. We're all studying the same country, but Oliver's journal has, you know, tons of writing about one country, where Cruz, he's my artist, has mostly all pictures, but all of the pictures relate to the country. It's different things that we've, books that we've read about that country, or facts that we've learned about that country. And that's just how he expresses what he's learned. And then Lola, she's more about telling me about it. So I'll just kind of write down what she says. Mm. So I'm able to, so we're still, it's still the same country. So we could sit down and do the, you know, whether it's watching a little video on YouTube about the country, or using one of our cultured owl boxes, or I love barefoot books. Whether it's getting into that, or some supporting literature that goes along with that country, they're able to process that learning the way that fits them best.
Awesome. I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase this question for you specifically. You've stated that you work, and then that you take Cruz with, or not Cruz, Ollie, to, with you to work. And that's how you balance your homeschooling with your work needs?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So my work, it's kind of twofold. I have two parts to it. I go to the studio and I teach. And the great thing is since I'm teaching TKK, my own children are still at Hilltop during that time. So I don't actually have to teach my own children, which is really great. Yeah. But then the other part of my job is meeting and supporting families. And so sometimes that means that I need to leave my kids with my husband, which gives them a chance to bond and hang out while I go and just meet families. Or if my families are also my friends, we can basically have a giant play date and have fun that way too.
That is nice. So you found a way to like continue your work and still be there and create what you needed for your children.
I do have a good balance. Yeah.
I like it. So how has community, you mentioned a little bit about it, but how has community played a role in your homeschooling?
I can't even tell you how important community is. I need, you guys got two eggs. Great. I found it. I rely on people to pick up my kids sometimes. I rely on people to drop off my children. I rely on if I can't, pick up, drop off, watching, playing, finding learning partners within friends. So all of those things contribute to play a role in, I mean, it's all part of what we're doing, what we're learning.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have both a community at Hilltop as well as a community in Eileen, and that that's been great. That's been very, I don't think I could do it without the help and support of others.
Yeah. Do you use mentors for your kids at all?
We did last year. You were a great mentor from my oldest last year.
Funny. I was really sincerely asking the question as if I didn't know the answer. Oh, that's funny. Okay. So yeah. And with your community, have you used your community at all for more direct learning besides myself?
Let's see. Okay. I can't think of a specific example. I can think of an example where I have helped teach.
Yes.
Others.
I was going to say, I think that probably you have done that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely do that. I have had both, you know, students on my roster as well as just friends that, actually, I mean, the last time Eric and Austin came over, we all sat down and we did this really amazing artwork that ended up being kind of like a cooperative piece, and everybody gained something from it. And that was really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. One thing I noticed when I've mentored children is the closeness that they feel. You know, the group that I had with Oliver, they were like, we're brothers. And it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It really creates, like, I feel like community in the sense of what it really used to be or what it really can be, all its potential. And
yeah.
The closeness that you develop with the children, or that the children develop with other adults.
Yes.
Helpful, right?
Yes. Yeah. 100% agree with you. And I do, I think it's funny that you say that because I think children need to feel connected and they need to feel confident and safe before they're really ready to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. And having those deeper relationships makes such a difference.
Yeah. And those are needs that are, I feel like, are not often met with everybody. And it's, I would say, even more important than the academics. Mm-hmm. Certainly it needs to come first. It needs to be more of a priority.
Yeah. I think belonging has just been so illuminated lately, like that need for belonging in children and adults, and where it goes wrong, and how it creates these struggles in our lives. I've really been looking a lot at that.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, I look at what we've done, what we've been able to do at the studio this year, and there's so much collaboration, projects that children have to work on together. And something that I've kind of taken upon myself is matching kids to work together. And so they usually work in either twos or threes. Beginning of the year, the kids couldn't figure out how to put tape to paper together, and they would literally just work individually next to each other, and they really thought that was working together. And by the end of the year, I mean, they were building rockets together. They were listening to each other's ideas. Kids who were afraid to say, you know, two words to each other were sharing what they wanted to do, and having conversations with other kids about why their idea would work to get the rocket up in the air. So it was so exciting to see their growth and development and just working together and learning together. And I look out as I see, I mean, every single, so when we, a lot of times we'll get together, it's TK through fifth grade. Sometimes even the middle schoolers will come down and join us. But I look out and I see them all, and I listen to them, and I'm like, these are the skills that you need to have. You know, you can't go to school and work on a worksheet all day and think you're going to be ready for the workforce. You need to know how to work with a variety of people. People who are younger than you, people who are older than you, people who don't share your same ideas, and be able to express your opinion, your idea, and figure things out together. And I feel like that's a piece that's really missing, that not enough kids are getting nowadays.
Yes, I totally agree. And I'm like really curious if we can illuminate for others how you choose learning partners when you pair them.
That's a great question. And it might change one day to the next. I just look at the need of the child and how they've acted in past groups. And so sometimes kids, they have their own idea and they are so, you know, they just want to focus on that, but they need to learn to listen to other people. And so I might pair them up with a very expressive child who will make that child listen to them. or, you know, somebody who tends to wilt in a group that's very loud. And so, but we switch it up. We change it around. And I mean, I really feel, it's funny, like at the beginning of the year, I struggled finding partners that would match. And when we got to the end of the year, it's like, oh man, they're going to listen to each other. They're going to share with each other. And it's just going to work. I can't wait to see what that group's going to do today. So yeah, it could be a variety of factors, but it mostly just has to do with getting children to speak and to listen to each other.
So it sounds like you definitely like to challenge them with the learning partners sometimes.
Yeah, definitely.
And yet also you're quite aware of, like, they're not ready for that challenge. So I might find someone who could support them. And
yeah, some of them are still at the point where they need their words validated. And so I look for that. And they might grow to the point where they need their words challenged.
Mm.
So things change.
Love it. This is such a fun interview. at iLead, are you guys called EFs, ES?
Yes, we are EFs at iLead.
EFs.
Education Facilitators.
Okay. My question is a little bit unformed, but I'm thinking first, like, what is the best advice you could offer new homeschoolers?
To be honest with you, I personally like to get to know the family first before I can even, like, solicit that advice.
Sure.
I need to find out what they're looking for, and what the dynamics of the family are. Because there's such a variety in a new homeschooler, right? There's some who are very confident and like, this is why we're homeschooling. And so they may need support. Like, maybe they know the reason why. They want something a little bit less traditional, or they want flexibility in time, or, you know, I just need to find out more information about the family first before I can figure out the best way to support them and give them advice.
I agree. I think it's not a one-stop shop.
Yeah. Yeah. So true.
And then, as far as when you're working with a family, how do you kind of lay out your expectations in the beginning? Is it based on that conversation? Do you have that flexibility with iLead?
I do. So of course, when you are working with a public charter, there are certain rules to follow that may not fit everybody's
philosophy.
Place where they want to go. Yeah, exactly. And so that makes it a little bit of a struggle sometimes. But I do, I think just letting people know in the very beginning, like, this is what it means to be with iLead, and these are the expectations that I have, and that these are the things that I need for you. But this is also what I'm able to provide. And, you know, what I can do is, you know, I'm flexible with people. I love meeting with my families. I love supporting them, and helping them get that vision for what they want in homeschooling, helping them pick a curriculum that can help support that vision, or helping them pull back a little bit or change things up. So all of those are, I think, instrumental in what I do as my role as an EF.
I love it. Okay, so now my question is, how did you come upon Family Spirit Keepers?
Well, that would be you.
That would be me.
I know when you first started it, you were so excited about it and shared, and your excitement was contagious, and I really wanted to learn more about it.
I'm trying to remember how many of my, you've been in a few of my classes, right? My courses? Early on, back when it was at Hilltop.
Yeah, at Hilltop.
Mm-hmm. When we first started, you came to a few, I think when Oliver was in my class.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of a little bit of a different vision, but the same thing. You know, do you remember which courses you went to?
Which classes?
Yeah. I think you went to Symbiotic.
Yes. That sounds right. Symbiotic Learning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Symbiotic Learning. That's right. Yeah.
Gosh, I feel like that was ages ago at this point.
Isn't it crazy? It is. Yeah. I mean, Owen and Oliver are 10, right?
I know. Oliver's going to be 10, and Owen is 10 today. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy double digits.
It is.
Yeah, and this is when they were 6.
Yeah.
So 4 years ago. It's like a lifetime ago.
Yeah. So how do you think maybe that course specifically kind of supported you in your learning or?
So I think I had already reached the point where I realized I didn't want a traditional route. But I think your courses just helped me see that there is a how, number one. And then number two, I think the piece that your courses gave me in that I don't have to have a plan, like a set plan. I don't have to like figure things out 5 years down the road. I don't have to stress about finding a place for my child to go. I can just live in the moment and accept whatever we're doing. And if it's working at the moment, then just enjoy that moment. And if it stops working, change it. Like, don't force anything. Well, I think that's the most important piece that I took.
I love that. I'm so happy. I'm so happy because I really want parents to be able to feel a little more ease.
Yes.
There's that idea that homeschooling is so, so much, and yet it can be so much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's such a joy, like, being with my family, and homeschooling is, it's such a silly term, because it's like, it's not sitting at the kitchen table. It could be, like I said, it could be folding clothes. It could be going to the grocery store. There's so many aspects, and like, really, we're learning in every single thing that we do.
Yeah.
It's a way of life.
That's it. It's all tied together.
Yeah.
Like a beautiful, and that's where the ease comes in, because you're not trying to make time for this and make time for that. All together. Where do you feel most successful so far on the all together?
Like, in teaching my own children or in my job?
In terms of as a family spirit keeper, so meaning you're learning, living, growth as a family.
Where am I most successful? So many areas, just in terms, I think what we talked about before about that cooperation piece, where we're able to do things without fighting with each other. We're able to get along. We're able to cooperate. We're able to, I love my kids, and I look around at other families, and I see like this misery with them, and I'm like, I don't understand it. Like, I have, and not that I don't have my moments, I mean, certainly I get upset with my kids sometimes, for sure, but at the same time, I wouldn't change this for the world. Like, I, this time that I have with them, this period of growth that we're all going through, is, it's just a great ride. What can I say? And so in everything that we do, I feel success. Just in our ability to get along, I think.
That's beautiful. I love that. And finally, was there a moment where you felt like, oh my gosh, yes, I finally get this. I've got it. I'm okay. Or was there any?
I get that moment like often. And then all of a sudden that moment's like the rug's pulled out from under me. And I have to start over and have to search for that moment again. But I always find it again.
I love it. Yeah. I think that is the thing. It is the cyclical nature, right? Of life.
Yeah.
You get it all figured
out. It's funny.
Out
it's funny that you interview me today, because I'm, you know, right now things are great and things are good. And I don't know, maybe if you'd interviewed me yesterday, maybe this wouldn't be so positive.
Oh, that's funny. That is life, right? That's awesome. Thank you so much for that. That was
this was fun.
Really cool. I so appreciate Brianna for sharing all her wisdom and parts with us. It's refreshing to hear honest reflection about the Family Spirit Keeper's journey and homeschooling. Brianna and her friend Anel are currently offering a summer nature camp, so check out their tribe, Creative Roots OC, in the Family Spirit Keeper's community. Thank you for sharing this time with us, and we'll see you next time.